What's up, and welcome to the Kinda Sorta Sports Podcast. I am your host, John Browner. As always, you can like this page on Facebook at Kinda Sorta Sports Podcast. You can email us at Kinda Sorta Sports Podcast at Gmail. You can find us on iTunes at John Browner's Podcast. There are plenty ways to get what's about to happen next. Now, if you hear my voice, that means you've already done one of those three things to get here. Now, I did an interview with Richie Williams, San Diego State standout, Mountain West Conference all-time leader in steals. At the time he left San Diego State, he was the all-time leader in assists and steals, but one of those records have obviously been taken down because I didn't mention it. I caught up with him. We had a great chat, mostly about European basketball and the things you got to go through to get over there and what you got to do when you're over there. And I thought that I should share that with you guys so you guys can hear from Richie himself. And without any further ado, Richie Williams. What's up, y'all? This is the Kinda Sorta Sports Podcast. I am your host, John Browner, and I am here with I guess at this point, you're a German legend, right?
Not yet. I'm trying to get there, though.
You're working your way? I'm trying to get there. That is San Diego's own Richie Williams. How's it going, Richie?
It's going on pretty good, man. Doing all right. Got a week left before I leave, so I'm just trying to stay in shape and trying to get there in the best shape possible so I can be as confident as possible in this season.
What goes into your mind frame over the summer when you know you have a long, grueling season coming up, a whole 10-hour flight away? Like, what goes into that?
Well, the first month is just being able to come home and enjoy time with family, let my body recuperate, and all that type of stuff, because 10 months, two-a-day practices, and all that type of stuff could, you know, take a real toll on your body. So I just try to relax, have some peace of mind, step away from basketball for a little bit, and just enjoy my time home. And then about the last month, you know, it's a few weeks before I head into training camp, that's when I start, you know, getting back into competitive mode, training, working out, and, you know, taking very good care of my body.
Do you find that process, as you become a veteran in traveling and playing basketball overseas, do you find that process getting harder and harder to do, or is it something where you enjoy it because that's what makes the profession what it is?
For me, I enjoy it. I enjoy the process, and I think that's why I go so hard. It's something I'm passionate about, and I see the potential in myself in areas where I can improve. So I feel like once I lose that passion, once the process stops being fun for me and I don't want to work hard to get better, that's when I'll be done with the game. But right now, like, I'm loving the process all the way around. Even on my free time, I just want to go to the gym and play open run with just random people at LA Fitness or 24-Hour Fitness.
That could be dangerous.
Yeah, it is.
That could be dangerous.
It is, but it's something I enjoy doing. I love getting better, and I love sharing my knowledge with people on the game.
Do you feel yourself coaching at some point, or is that something that's...
It's something I wanted to stay away from. I don't think I want to coach, but I like the training aspect of it, like the individual attention. As far as, like, team concepts and that type of coaching, it's not something I really want to do, but that could change down the line. But as of right now, I enjoy, like, the individual process of coaching, the mentoring part of it.
Okay, so you say you're getting ready to head back in about a week or so. The day before, the night before, take me back to your first professional contract, your first, the night before you were going to fly over to your first game, or I'm sorry, over to your first team. What was the feeling like? Was it more joy? Was it nervousness?
When I signed the contract, I was happy. You know, when I signed the contract,
right,
I was happy.
Right.
Calling friends and family, telling them what I got going on, when I'm leaving. But when it got time, it was actually my first situation in Iceland. I was coming midway through the season. I was leaving New Year's Eve. I think I left January 1st, the 1st of January.
Okay.
And I left. But the day before, had all my stuff packed up and everything just sank in. Like, this is really about to happen.
It got real. You
know, it started to get cold feet a little bit. Like, do I really want to hop on this plane? Like, do they really play? Is this a scam? Do they really play basketball in Iceland?
Right.
Are there Eskimos out there? Like, everything ran through my mind. But once I got out there about a weekend or two, you know, I've adjusted pretty nicely, I think.
Do you, and did you feel like you belong at that level, or did you feel like you knew you belonged in a higher level, but you knew that there were steps to be taken?
I knew there were steps to be taken. Like, that's something I've dealt with my whole life. You know, people doubting me. Is he good enough? He's too small. He's too this, too that. You know, people always trying to nitpick at what I do. And when I was first trying to get my foot in the door, I was just willing to take any situation. I knew this is where I was going to have to start, but this is not where I want to stay. So I went into that situation knowing that. And I think that's what kept me motivated and kept me grinding the way I do, because even though I'm light years ahead of where I was when I first came into the game, this is not where I want to be. I still have goals, and my ambition is still there to keep going up.
So when you come, you go from Steel Canyon to San Diego State over to Iceland, and you hear all these horror stories about guys not getting paid and playing conditions. Was any of that part of that cold feet process you talked about?
Well, that's something that I worry about now because I'm making a lot more money.
Okay.
But at the time, like, I just wanted the opportunity. I knew the opportunity was more valuable than the money at the time.
Right.
So I didn't really care if I didn't make a dime. I just wanted to go out there and prove that I can play at this level, or, you know, deserve to be playing at a higher level than I was at that time. So that's all it was for me. The money is just a plus.
Now, you've moved up, clearly, because now you're making more money, because now that's a worry. You've moved up. You went from the team in Iceland. You went to the San Diego Soul. You went to the UBC Tigers in Hanover. And then you went to Rostovetsche. Is that pronouncing that correctly?
Feste. Like the Feste. V sounds like an F in German.
Feste.
Yeah.
So you already got the knowledge, man. You got the German language down. You know what letters to substitute for that.
Oh, man, it's a long time coming, though.
So you put in 2 years over there. You averaged 15 points, 5 rebounds. Now, Richie's 5'10", obviously, because this is an audio podcast. It's not visual. Richie's 5'10", led the team in points, rebounds, assists, and steals. Now, when I looked at your stats, it seems that you are a very good rebounder. How do you put yourself in that mindset at 5'10", to average 5 rebounds?
Just anticipation and effort. I think rebounding just comes down to who wants it more. And then the intellectual part of it is just anticipation, knowing where the ball is going before everyone else does.
Right.
You know, and then I'm not the highest jumper on the court, so I'll go ahead and let the big guys jump for it. And as soon as they bring it down, I'm going to snatch it out their hand.
Tip it 3 or 4 times, yeah, so it gets loose.
Let them jump for it, and when the ball hits the ground, it's supposed to be mine. And that's another thing. Like, I like to try to be everywhere on the court. I like to try to make every play. Like, it sounds bad. Like, I don't trust anybody on the court. Like,
okay.
I don't trust anybody to make a play, so I'm going to be over there to make the play just in case something goes wrong.
Right.
So that's how I end up getting all the rebounds.
You on a backup plan.
No backup plan. I'm the backup
right,
plan.
Right, your own backup plan.
I'm plan A and B.
So when you first got there, they were Pro B? How was it stated?
You talking about Fesha?
Yeah, Fesha.
Yeah, they were Pro A when I joined the team.
Okay. And what are they now?
They're back to the Pro A, because last year we came in last place, so the bottom two teams moved down, and the two top teams from the Pro A move up.
Okay. So when you are going into your third season in Germany, not with the same team, because he switched teams, we're going to get into that later on, but you go through the first 2 years of that team. You make progress with that team. What's it like to not be able to enjoy the fruits of the labor by being injured and not being able to participate in that championship game?
Well, as a competitor, it's the worst feeling ever. You know, in the most important game of the season, too. Like, I can't play. I feel like LeBron when he got a cramp.
Oh.
Everybody gave him a lot of heat.
Right.
But some people don't really understand that when your body tells you that you can't do something, you would know. You can't do anything about it. There's nothing mentally or something you could drink to cure that.
Right.
Your body will lock up on you and you can't do anything. And that's basically what happened to me. I ended up straining my groin. I couldn't run anymore. Like, I wish I could have hobbled out there, you know,
right,
till the buzzard ended, but I couldn't do it. So that was like a huge lesson for me, because that was the first time I've ever been injured to where I couldn't play if I wanted to. Like, I've had broken bones, played through that, right. Sprained ankle, played through that, but this was actually something where I did like, wow, this is serious. I really need to sit down and really need to take care of my body.
Did it give you a different outtake or a different way to look at how you need to prepare yourself physically for the upcoming season?
Well, going through the rehab process, it showed me like how important, you know, my groin is. I didn't know that it affected so many movements.
Right.
You know, something as simple as walking was something that was painful for me. I couldn't laugh. If I moved certain motions, like everything. So it taught me a lot about how certain muscles affect other parts of the body, and then, you know, how important those little muscles are. Because as far as being a sportsman, we focus so much on the large groups, you know, the quads, right, hamstrings, the biceps, all that type of stuff, and you forget to work the stabilizing muscles and that type of stuff. So it made me focus on those type of things when I go into training and when I'm working out.
This is the Kind of Sort of Sports Podcast. That's Richie Williams. I'm John Brown, and we're talking about basketball globally. We're talking about going around the world. I'm talking to the German legend, Richie Williams. You've now switched teams. Mm-hmm. Now, let me see if I pronounce this correctly, because I know you got your German together. Let me work on mine. The Fraport Skyliners?
Fraport.
Okay, Fraport Skyliners. See, y'all, I'm learning. Learn something new every day. Don't be a loser. So, let's talk about that process. Like I said, you grew with that team previously. You grew with the team before, mm-hmm. and now you're switching teams. How did this come to be?
Well, a lot of it came from me wanting to stay in the top division. And okay. Fechter was moving down. That's something I really didn't want to do. But the reason I made it to where I am now has a lot to do with Pat Elzey, my coach for Fechter, believing in me, even at the Pro B level. So I felt like my loyalty was to him. And then once he decided that he wanted to step down as coach and venture off into other things, that's when it was just cut and clear, like, you know, I need to do what's best for me and what I want to do.
See, so, and I think a lot of people don't understand this, in business, it's not always about the money. I mean, obviously, to a certain degree, it's about the money.
Yeah, definitely.
But a lot of the relationships are more important than the money, because the money will come if you do what you got to do. And so, did the coach talk to you before he stepped down, or did that was something that he just...
Well, it was a conversation that we had throughout the season. Like, he toyed with the idea, but it was nothing concrete until the end of the season where we had our sit-down talks. And, you know, he told me what, you know, his next move was going to be. And then, you know, I took that note and, you know, and I took that into consideration in what I was going to do with my future.
Now, obviously, you attended San Diego State. What was your relationship with him in terms of what your relationship was like with Steve Fisher?
It was very similar. You know, it was like a father-son, you know, teacher-student type relationship. And, you know, what I admired about Pat Elzey, the same thing I admired about Coach Fisher, is, like, he had complete confidence in what I can do on the court and gave me complete freedom because he trusted me so much and had confidence in my ability. And that's one thing that, you know, that drew me into playing for Pat Elzey at Fechter, because it's not often that a coach comes up to you and knows right off the bat, as soon as he sees you, I want you, you're going to be my guy. Usually they're juggling about 3-4 guys, right. Like, you know, they're meeting with, you know, with the front office, like, who do you think is better, when, why, all that type of stuff. But he knew when I was playing with UBC in Hanover in a Pro B, we scrimmaged his team, Pat Elzey, and after the scrimmage, he was like, what are you doing here at the Pro B? You're a BBL point guard playing at the Pro B. And I thought he was gassing me.
Right.
So I'm just like...
But they do that. Coaches
yeah,
will
yeah.
do that.
So I'm like, I think he's just gassing me. I'm like, well, I don't know. I guess I'm not good enough. Well, I'm, you know, I'm playing with him too. Of course, I didn't think that about myself.
Of course not.
But, and then, first opportunity in February, when no more roster changes could be made, He called up my coach. He was like, hey, can I get Richie's number? He called me up, and 3 months before the season was even over, he was trying to sign me to his team to play in a Pro A with him at Festa. So ever since then, I was like, I can play for this guy.
By the way, people, that the sounds you hear in the back, that's not ambiance. This is what you call on location radio. We are on location right now. I can't tell you where we are, but we're in sunny San Diego. We enjoying the day out in the sun. So continuing on this theme, the new team, the Skyliners, let's talk about them. You got a new coach, so now you're going under a new coach, going under a new organization. What are you most excited about?
Being in a new city, playing in front of, you know, a larger crowd, you know, and, you know, playing with new teammates. You know, everything that it is about moving to a new city, everything, you don't really know what to expect. You know, I've talked to the coach a few times on the phone. We got to know each other a little bit. We're familiar with each other because we played against each other twice last season. But everything's going to be new. It's like a new start, you know, and I'm anxious to show everybody, like, how much I've improved my game since last season.
Now, you missed out on the All-Star game last year.
Mm-hmm.
Let me read this quote directly, because you don't want to misquote somebody when you're sitting right in front of them. Now, when you're talking to German basketball, you said, 2 seasons ago, I was told I wasn't good enough to have started in Pro B. Look at me now. Now, you just barely missed that All-Star game. This year coming up, let me get a prediction for that All-Star roster. Will you be on it?
Hey, you got to leave that in the hands of the fans. My job is to go out there and perform. You know, and people are going to vote for who they want to vote for. You know, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to show how I improve my game, leave it all on the court, play with passion and win games, and hopefully everything else takes care of itself.
All right, now, let's kind of bring this to an end. We're going to do some rapid fire after this, but let's talk about what's next for Richie. Not necessarily next as in next year, but after basketball. What are you looking to get into? What will the German legend do when he's done?
Well, I won't be staying in Germany, that's for sure. I'll be coming back to the States. I envision myself coming back to San Diego, having a personal training business going, training athletes, and, you know, just trying to stay around the game. I really want to stay around the game. It's something I enjoy, and that's what I pretty much plan to do.
Okay, so now, let's do some rapid-fire questions. You can answer or you can pass. Best part about Germany?
The culture, being able to travel and see the world.
Worst part about Germany?
I really like Berlin. Remind me a lot about New York City.
Worst part of Germany?
Worst part?
Worst part of Germany?
Pass.
Okay. Ugliest woman you've met in Germany?
Pass.
Wow, okay. Worst part about the flight to Germany?
Man, the 16-hour day.
So what's typically, how does the day start and how does it end?
Well, this one, I leave San Diego at 7 o'clock in the morning, fly to Chicago. What, that 4.5 hours?
Shout out to Chicago.
Then I got about a 2-3 hour layover there. And then it's 8 hours, 9 hours from Chicago to Frankfurt. And then as soon as I get to Frankfurt, I get there at 7:30 in the morning. And then it's all this paperwork, meet and greet everyone, and jumping right into practice. No sleep, no nothing.
That is the basketball life of German legend Richie Williams. We're not done with the rapid fire. When you get back to San Diego, because obviously if I read up on you, after the accordion asada burrito, what's next for you?
What's next for me? Kissing babies, hugging the family.
Family, okay.
And then hitting the club, probably.
Okay. Club in San Diego.
Get all that I miss you love at F6.
You all know what that is. What best club? F6?
Man, that's my joint.
Worst club?
Pass. I don't want to burn that bridge. I might need him.
True that. True
get
that.
To the door, ain't gonna let me in.
You never want to burn the bridge. And the Kind of Sort of Sports podcast, we always like to end all our interviews, and we always like to end the show on a positive note. So, who or what was the most inspirational thing for you in your journey to become who you are?
man, my father. My father, he really showed me how to be a man, you know? It's not about, you know, what you have and don't have. Is, you know, falling and getting back up. You know, everybody has their struggles, but not everybody rebounds from them. And he showed me how to rebound from, you know, with your have-nots.
Give your dad a shout-out, man. Give your dad a shout-out.
Appreciate you, Dad. Love you, Richard Williams. Good luck in your competition in Pittsburgh. So he's a bodybuilder, by the way, so if you need some training, holla at him.
If you think it's a game, try to take his bench at the gym.
He eats weights. He gonna eat you.
If you think it's a game and you don't want your limbs, do that.
Yeah, he'll shred you. He'll shred you.
So this has been the Kind of Sort of Sports Podcast. I have been talking to Richie Williams. Thank you guys for listening. Till next time. Peace.
Damn, that boy can sing.
You must be crazy.
He good.
You must be crazy.